given to all of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive. He gave gifts to the people. But what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning, with cleverness in the techniques of deceit, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. From him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Father, would you speak into our hearts today? Not just let us hear words, but let it convict and compel us to live in a different way. Would your word be the truth? Would your word convict us and inspire us? God, speak. We love you in your son's name. Amen. So the main point of this text, again, is that Paul has challenged the church to be united in four different ways. He wants them to be united in the gospel. He wants them to be united through unique spiritual gifting. He wants that unique spiritual gifting to be a ministry that grows the church. And so we're going to find this unity throughout this passage. We're going to walk through it. We're just going to go verse by verse, because that's what I believe that Paul challenged us to do in Timothy. And the most biblical way to preach the word is through expository preaching. So we're just going to go verse by verse through this. We're going to begin with verse 1. Here we go. Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received. Now, this word worthy here, we got to understand this. Ephesians 1 through 3 is building up this moment where Paul has said, look, you are called in Christ. You are blessed. For by grace you have been saved by faith. And this was not by your works. Not by your works. You are called. You are blessed. You are loved. Grace, mercy to you. Love to you. And it comes up to this moment, this climactic moment in chapter 4, verse 1. Where he says this Greek word, axios, which is what we use in English for an axiom, and it's like the weight. And so have you ever been, let's say, like on the phone, and, well, you've been on the phone, but if you've ever gotten a phone call, and it's like a telemarketer, you know, you answer the phone, and you're like, it's like, doo-doo-doo, you've won a free vacation to the Caribbean. Just give us your social security number, and you can go. And we're like, great, here's my social security number. And then, you know, you get fraud. But you get this phone call from the telemarketer, and everybody knows you have that voice. You're like, you know, hang up. Like, your voice is just, But what happens when you get a phone call from your mom or your child? You got that different voice, especially if it's your mom and she's got something to deal with. You're like, oh, mommy, please. Like, you know, I respect you, mom. Yeah. What if it's a friend? Hey, what are you doing? Hey, let's go. Yeah, let's go grab some coffee. No, let's hang out. We speak differently when we are called by different people. We act differently when we are called by different people. When we are called by Christ, the weight of that calling commands, demands, and out of respect, we show a life that matches up to the calling. If you've been called by a child, you respond one way. If you call by a telemarketer, you respond one way. If you've been called by Christ, we must respond in a certain way that matches up with the worth, with the greatness of the call. And if Christ has given his life, then the only response to him that we can do is to give our very lives to him. Can we live in a way that is worthy of the calling which we have received? Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We must be united by our gospel living. The way, man, look, if there are people sitting in here in this room today that are filled with the Spirit and you are loving one another, then the only way that we are going to be united is when that person beside you is filled with the Spirit and loving. If the person beside you is not filled with the Spirit and is full of hate, you are not going to find unity. We're going to find unity in this church when we are living a life that is representing the gospel. So we are united by gospel living. If the person beside you is meek and humble and gentle like Christ, then you will be like them and we will have unity. If the person beside you is not representing Christ, then we will not have unity. Church, we must live in a way that is worthy of the calling which we have received. And when we do, we will find unity by the way that we live, by the words that we speak, by the love that we share, by the hope that we look forward to. So not only are we called to unity through the way that we live, but we are so called to believing in one true gospel. So second, we are united by gospel thinking. Verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And when we get to the meat of this and we see the practicality of this message, check this out. Our unity comes in one hope. And our hope is this, that Christ is not in a grave, but that he is raised from the dead and he is coming back. That is my hope. That is your hope. 1 Corinthians 15, 2 Thessalonians 4. It is our hope that Christ is coming back. And so check this out. Our unity comes in one hope, not one color of the carpet. Our unity comes in one Lord, Jesus Christ, not how many flashy lights we have on stage. Our unity comes in one faith, not flowers on the stage. Our unity comes in one baptism, not in our programs in the church. Our unity comes in one God and Father of all, not in a particular pastor's ability. If we are going to be united, we must be united in the gospel. Otherwise, we are not a church. We are a community center. We must stand united in the gospel. Let us not be united in the things of this church and the way that this church looks. Let us be united because we are the church. The church will look different if God strips this building away, if a bomb takes it away, you still remain. And that's where we find our unity. Now don't miss this. There is one Spirit, one Lord, and one Father. The greatest picture of unity that we could ever see is the Trinity. And Paul knows that, and so he mentions all three in this text. If we're going to be united, we're going to be united because God is our witness. God is our leader, and we are following him. If we want to be united, let's look to the Trinity, which works together, fellowships together, and loves us as one. That will be how we will stand united. Now, unity is not the same as sameness. It's not meaning that we are all alike, like robots being produced, because we are united through diverse gifting. So the third point is this, that we are united through our diversity, our spiritual gifts. Verse 7, check it out. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive. He gave gifts to the people. But what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. Now, this can be confusing, with ascension and descension, all these different things. Paul is summarizing a chapter in Psalms. He's summarizing Psalm 68. And in that psalm, we see David, who is going through these battles. It's a psalm of David. He's going through these battles, and he'll go into these countries, and it was typical of all historical kingdoms in those times. What they would do is they would go into these mighty kingdoms, they would conquer these kingdoms, and then they would take the things of that kingdom. Sometimes the people in that kingdom would give them gifts so that they wouldn't be destroyed, but they would take these gifts, and on their journey home, they would give them out to the people of their kingdom. And so what this text is saying is that Jesus Christ, who was in heaven, chose to come to earth. He descended to earth. He conquered sin, Satan, and death, victorious in his life, victorious in his death, victorious in his resurrection. He ascends into heaven, giving gifts to his church. And that is us. And so Paul alludes to this chapter in Psalm 68 to tell us that our King has won and our King has brought gifts to us. Now let's check out our gifts. Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Unity comes through our diversity. We are united most when we are the most diverse in our spiritual gifting. If everyone in here has the same gift, we will never accomplish anything but that one gift. And so you are uniquely gifted. Each one of you has a plan and a purpose in this church. Each one of you has a plan and a purpose in God's kingdom. And when we deprive you of being able to use that, the church suffers and the unity will not be there. And so God gifts us with different leaders in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to build up that spiritual gifting in you to bring unity about. Now, when pastors and evangelists and teachers and all these people are not doing that, the people do not realize their gifting and unity does not come. It is the job of the people that you call to lead you, to gift you, to bring that same gift that Christ has given you, to lay hands on you and to say, hey, your spiritual gifting is evident. Let me help you bring that out in your life. Let me give you an area to share that with the people and share that with the church. And so God calls people and God gifts people. God chooses the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers to shepherd his church by raising them up. And that is you. So, why has God chosen to use a group to equip the church? We look in Acts and we see the church just kind of existing with not much leadership, and they're kind of understanding, what are we going to do, man? We're growing so heavily. What are we going to do? And they start to realize, man, there's too much to be done than for one person to do it. And they start to spread it out. God has chosen to use the church as his plan A to reach the world. You are chosen by God. Not just for salvation, but to save and to lead others to Christ. You are God's plan A. And so God knew that if he's going to build a church, he's going to build it on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has called out apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists to raise up the church body, to minister to the church body. And so our diverse gifting unites us to minister to one another for the purpose of creating a united pursuit. And that's the fourth unity. We have a united pursuit of Jesus. Verse 14, then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit, but speaking the truth in love, which that Greek word there, love, alethuntes, is a verb. And so it's not like, hey, you speak one truth or you have a truth. It's truthing. Now, we don't have that in English, but if you were to translate it accurately, it'd be truthing. We continually live with truth coming out of our mouths. As a church body, we speak truth, not gossip, not slander. We speak truth, and truth brings unity. So let us grow, verse 15, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Now check this out. It says at the very end, and this is so key to the text, by the proper working of each individual part. If we do not have a united, diverse spiritual gifting, a diverse ministry, if we don't have unity in our diversity, we will never have unity in our growth. Our spiritual growth is dependent upon our ministry and diversity, because what we'll have is we'll have this spiritual growth and then it will cease. It'll stop because it's built on a man. It's built on one pastor. It's built on one leader in the church. It's built on someone instead of on everyone who is living for Christ and the foundation being Christ alone. So, from him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, each one of you, that's when it will promote the growth of the body for building it up, itself up in love. If we want to grow, we must first be united in our spiritual diversity. If we want to be spiritually diverse with our gifting, we must be united in the way that we think. What we think about the gospel. One Lord, one Spirit, one Father. But what does this mean practically? How do we live this out? I don't want you just to walk away having just knowledge. I want you to be able to apply this to your life. And what I want to do today is I want to apply this to the church and my prayer for the church, my hope for the church. And so we're going to look at four different things. Unity through gospel living, unity through gospel thinking, unity through diverse spiritual gifting, and unity through growth, pursuit. All right, and how do we apply that to the church? First is this, our unity in gospel living will be applied to the church when we have relationships in this church that are intentionally designed for fellowship, accountability, and encouragement in our lives while depending on the Holy Spirit's enabling and the Word of God's teaching. So we have got to create environments. We're going to invest time, energy, and resources that create environments that are built on healthy relationships. Relationships that are so accountable that I can that you and your friend can walk up to each other and say, hey man, you haven't been living in a way that has been pleasing the Lord, and it's causing friction in the church. It's causing friction in our lives. But we can't do that with this with over 200 people in a room. You can't do that. You can't have other, we got to break that down. Because gospel living is important, and we're going to live by the Spirit. The Spirit's going to guide us, but we're going to do it in small groups. We're going to do it in life groups. We're going to do it broken up, separate, so that I can speak in you. We're going to do it in Sunday school groups that are broken up and built on fellowship so that I can interact with you, not just knowledge, but we can apply it. But the second thing now is this. We're going to be united in gospel thinking. If we're going to be able to think biblically, if we're going to be able to think about the gospel accurately, here's what we got to do. We got to have the best biblical environments to teach God's word. We got to have Sunday schools that are ramped up and teaching the truth of God's word from teachers who are educated and equipped to teach the gospel message. And we're going to raise up leaders. And you may say, man, I don't feel educated and equipped. That's okay. We're going to raise you up and develop you. And so we must have great environments, not just Sunday school, but great environments also throughout the weeks and the months, conferences where we can teach and train different elements that the whole church needs to know, different systematic theology things, different life practical things on marriage, on how to raise your kid, worship conferences, whatever it takes to teach us, teach the body how to think with one mind, how to think alike, but how to be diverse with our spiritual gifting. So the third thing, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to be united through diverse ministry when we create a leadership pipeline that enhances and uses adults, children, teenagers, men and women, all uniquely gifted by God, to be raised up in different leadership positions, to be raised up in different leadership abilities. You may say, man, I feel like I'm right here and I just need to get to this next step. I feel called in the ministry. I feel called to do this ministry and this work. Okay, awesome. Let us equip you and do it. But only when we are creating an intentional leadership pipeline where you're going from here to here, and we know how to do it, we know who's doing it, and we know what qualifications you need, and we have a process to get you there. We're not just going to say we're going to equip people. We're going to have a process, a plan. It's called a leadership pipeline to develop you into what God has called you to be. And then fourth, if we're going to have unity through pursuit, then we're going to have to create a discipleship pathway. If you were here last night, you heard briefly about my passion for discipleship, but I am extremely passionate about it, and I believe that a discipleship pathway is so important in the church that we know that if someone walks in this room and they say, I believe in Jesus Christ, that we know we can get that person from placing their faith into leading someone other to place their faith in him. That we can get somebody who has been immature to a mature Christian. That we can lead the babes to become growing Christians. The childlike, the infants, the babes, to mature, living for Christ. That's a discipleship pathway. We're going to get you in this environment, and you're going to grow here. And then we have a next step. Your next step is to get here. And man, your next step is to get on a mission trip. And your next step is to go lead a mission trip. And finally, we're going to cast you out, and we're going to gift you. We're going to resource you to plant a church. man, in whatever phase, whatever place God wants you to be at, we want you to go there, and we want you to go whatever process God wants you to be on, and we're going to help you get there. But we're going to create intentional leadership pipeline, intentional discipleship pathway. We're going to create environments where we can teach God's word accurately. We're going to create environments where we can have fellowship to encourage one another. So what is your next step coming away from today? We always want to walk away with, what do I do? And here's your next steps. We're going to have the band come up, and we're going to end with a worship song. But first, I want you to know, here, these are what your next steps are. First, I want you to write down, just sometime this week, it's really practical, I want you to write down one way, or multiple ways, whatever you want to do, that you can advocate for unity in Westminster Baptist Church. One way, at least one way, you can advocate for unity in Westminster Baptist Church. And then I want you to go, and I want you to share that with someone in this church. You can share it with a family member, you can share it with a coworker, you can share it with whoever you want, but I want you to share it with somebody this week to say, I'm going to be an advocate for unity at my church because I believe that the world needs to see a church that is united. And then second, I want you to pray for unity. And this is why I honestly believe that no great movement has ever occurred without the Spirit being the leader. The Holy Spirit is going to move in a mighty way, but it's going to begin with people on their knees, pleading with Father to move, pleading with Father to send His Spirit afresh, anew in our lives, to move us, to compel us to go and to reach people with the gospel through unity in the church, to reach the younger generation, to reach the older generation, to equip the older generation to reach the younger generation, to create environments where people are not just coming to church and sitting in seats, but they are growing with unity. So pray. Pray earnestly that God would bring unity. First step, write down a way that you can advocate for unity. Second step, get on your knees and pray with Father. Let me pray for you today. God, thank you. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. We love you. We need you. We're desperate for you to move in this place. God, guide all of our decisions, all of our thoughts, all of our desires. Let us place every preference at the foot of the cross. Let us place every program at the foot of the cross. Let us place everything in this church that looks like something we like at the foot of the cross, and give us back only what we need to make disciples. We are yours. Use us in whatever way you want. Bring us unity in our thinking. Bring us unity in our living. Bring us unity in our gifting. And bring us unity in our growth. So God, come. Move in this place. We love you. In your Son's name. Amen. Pastors are available if you'd like to pray with them afterwards. Pastor Glenn, deacons will be available for you to pray with them. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Let's stand together, and as we close out our service with this chorus, just a reminder to all active members, we're going to take a 15-minute break at the end of this service, and then reconvene back in this room for the business meeting. So all active members return back after a 15-minute break. Let's sing What a Beautiful Name.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
God bless you. We'll see you in a few minutes.